Good afternoon. This is KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in. Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium opened a new urgent care facility in downtown Juneau over the weekend. The Alaska Native-run healthcare organization announced late last week that the new facility is located at the back entrance of its Front Street Clinic near Harbor Mountain Brewing. The clinic officially opened on Sunday and now provides walk-in urgent care from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day. Martin Benning is Search's chief operating officer. He says the new clinic will provide more convenient care to downtown Douglas and Thane residents, along with cruise ship visitors and crew.
It's an area of need in the community, and we're just trying to meet the patients where they're at and add those services where we can.
The new downtown urgent care will provide treatment for non-emergency medical issues like minor injuries, sinus infections, and upper respiratory symptoms. Search's existing Front Street Clinic is in the same building and provides primary care, behavioral health, and dental services. It often caters to Juneau's unhoused and low-income residents. The new facility is Juneau's fourth urgent care. Juneau Urgent and Family Care operates a facility near the airport. Search runs the other urgent care clinics located at the Ethel Lund Medical Center near the hospital and its Vintage Park campus in the Mendenhall Valley.
We opened our first urgent care location in Juneau in 2021, and it's been one of the fastest growing services that we've had.
Search has been rapidly expanding its services in Juneau and Southeast Alaska. In the past 3 years, it's acquired Southeast Medical Clinic, Juneau Youth Services, Juneau Physical Therapy, and many other clinics throughout the region. And a quick look at weather today in Juneau. It is sunny and 63 degrees out this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear with a low of around 44 degrees. Tomorrow is mostly sunny with a high near 70 degrees. This is KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in. Happy sunny afternoon. This is KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in. King salmon sport fishing opened today in Juneau's hatchery harvest areas. Those areas include Gastineau Channel, Fritz Cove, Auk Bay, and Lena Cove. A complete map is available on the Alaska Department of Fish and Game website. Hatchery area rules are in effect through the end of August. The daily limit is 4 kings or chinook of any size. Daniel Teske is the Juneau Area Management Biologist for Sport Fisheries at Fish and Game. He says anglers can keep any chinook caught in hatchery areas.
You don't have to make any determination of whether or not it's a hatchery fish or not, but chances are it is going to be a hatchery fish.
Katie Harms is the executive director at DIPAC, Juneau's hatchery organization. She says hatchery chinook 5 years old and younger lack an adipose fin located between the dorsal and tail fins. That's because a hatchery clipped it off at the request of Fish and Game to distinguish hatchery-released salmon from wild salmon for research under the Pacific Salmon Treaty. Harms says she predicts the hatchery return will be pretty good this year.
As of right now, we've been seeing trends with better marine survival than we've seen in some of the recent history.
DIPAC forecasts around 8,000 hatchery chinook will return to the Juneau area based on smolt release in the Gastineau Channel, Fish Creek, Auk Bay, and Lena Cove. King salmon fishing outside of the hatchery zone remains closed until June 15th. Teske says that when boaters catch one within the hatchery zone, they must offload it before fishing outside of the zone to ensure they're following area rules. The 2026 Sport Fishing Regulations booklet and updates are available on the Fish and Game's website. And today was the last day to officially begin a campaign for state or federal office in Alaska after a few shakeups late last week. As Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports, there were also some twists in the hours before today's deadline.
Maybe the biggest news of the day isn't who will be on the ballot, it's who won't be. Republican Lieutenant Governor Nancy Dahlstrom was the second candidate to kick off a gubernatorial campaign back in May of 2025, but she says now she's stepping out of the crowded field. Dahlstrom lagged in fundraising and did not announce a running mate before ending her campaign. In a statement, Dahlstrom says she's still, quote, committed to helping strong Republican leaders get elected across the state. Meanwhile, some other gubernatorial candidates took another step toward the August primary and announced their running mates. Former Sitka Democratic Representative Jonathan Christ Hopkins selected Anchorage Assemblymember Zach Johnson as his would-be lieutenant governor. Christ Hopkins says the former Marine and Alaska State Trooper would be an asset on his team.
He shares a very Alaskan sort of problem-solving, pragmatic approach to governance. And I think that's the kind of elected leader the state really needs.
Anchorage voters elected Johnson in 2023 to an assembly seat representing South Anchorage and the Anchorage Hillside. He won re-election earlier this year. And even though he's running on a Democratic candidate's ticket, Johnson says he considers himself an independent.
I've never aligned myself with a political party, and I've been happy to support people on across the political spectrum, and you know, honored to have support from a broad range of people, R's and D's and I's.
Another gubernatorial candidate picked up a running mate on Monday as Republican candidate Treg Taylor selected Candy English as his second in command. State records show English is the majority owner of Northern Solutions LLC, an oilfield service company with machine shops in Anchorage and Dead Horse. She founded the company in 2007 after a 20-year career with Arco Alaska on the North Slope. That's according to a statement from Taylor, who did not return a phone call Monday afternoon. Also in the gubernatorial race is former Governor Bill Walker and former state legislator Lisa McGuire. Both filed letters of intent last week and officially joined the race on Monday. Both are former Republicans running as independents. McGuire has been a longtime Republican, but prior to filing to run, said she was concerned about the direction the GOP was headed. And in a legislative shakeup, Fairbanks Senator Rob Myers, a Republican in the Senate's Minority Caucus, announced Monday that he would not seek another term. He says he wants to spend more time with his family. He endorsed another sitting legislator, Fairbanks Republican Representative Frank Tomaszewski, to run for his safe Republican seat. Tomaszewski quickly picked up a challenger in the race for State Senate District Q. That's Democrat William Hunt of North Pole, who had registered to run for U.S. Senate, but withdrew on Monday afternoon to challenge Tomaszewski. Tomaszewski's wife, Harmony Tomaszewski, filed to run for her husband's current House District 34 seat on Monday. She'll face two opponents, independent Joy Beth Cottle and Republican John Anderson. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
And Petersburg's local tribe launched its first canoe in a century last Sunday, setting out on a canoe journey to the biannual celebration festival in Juneau. KFSK's Olivia Rose reports.
It's a clear morning with calm seas at South Harbor. A group of canoes from several different communities are about to embark from Petersburg to paddle together to Juneau, camping and visiting villages along the way. It's a tradition known as Journey. And Petersburg's local tribe says launching this canoe journey from the island town is a big deal. They believe it's the community's first official launch of this kind in recorded memory. And preparations are coming to a head at the harbor's boat ramp. Shoshani Brandon Ware loads supplies onto Petersburg's new Flanket-style canoe. It's fiberglass and 39 feet long.
Man, this ballast actually makes this canoe snappy. Wait, with all this water in here?
Ware is moving around cases of water bottles added for extra weight. That's because just 9 people will be in the canoe at a time, instead of a dozen like originally planned.
We make do with 9. We figured out we could actually move this thing with about 5 people.
Ware is the skipper and the local tribal council vice president. He's been devoting a lot of time coordinating and preparing for today, from planning to paddle practice with the polers.
We're making a journey of it, and it'll be a good time.
His two brothers are also at the ramp getting ready for the launch. Billy Ware is gearing up at the front of the canoe.
My English name is Billy Ware. My Tlingit name is Saguch, and we are going on this canoe journey today. This is a big, big thing. We've waited over 100-something years for this now. And it's a culmination of everything our ancestors have put before us. We are just trying to do the best with what they gave us, and they gave us a great foundation.
Billy and Brandon's brother, Adam, says he's excited too.
My name's Khatusab, and my government name is Adam Ware. Just kind of feels more surreal right now. It's actually happening, and all this planning we've put into it, it's just surreal to me that we're actually launching today.
He says the biggest concern has been the weather. The other handful of polers at the ramp agree. But they're somewhat relieved knowing fishing vessels are traveling with the group as safety boats. It will take over a week to paddle more than 100 miles from Petersburg to Juneau. For many of the polers, it will be their first time attending the celebration festival there. It's a big event that happens every other year, where thousands of people gather to honor and uplift indigenous culture. Some travel for the occasion by canoe. Gooch Dla, Victoria Moore, last went to celebration in 2004. And this year is the first time with her son, Alex.
There is risk in this whole adventure, but I'm just thinking about all of us coming together, you know, and helping my son connect with a culture. You know, this is going to be a whole new experience. Alex's Tlingit name, Dahaguch. And with Alex, everybody's been so good about inclusion for him. You know, he has autism. He has a different language than we do, you know, than out of the ordinary. So I'm just excited to see the joy in Alex and this, and for us just to create these memories together, you know, for the first time.
Moore puts on her life jacket when Stephanie Hayes, a friend who is a weaver, gives a quick parting gift.
This is a Chilkat tassel from my first piece.
Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh.
Life jacket. Because I want you to have peace from the from a Chilkat rope. Go with you the whole journey.
That is amazing. From your first piece?
From my first piece.
Oh my gosh.
I love you.
Thank
okay,
you.
Alex, I got a rope to wear.
Oh
my
goodness.
From my first piece. So you have a Chilkat rope the whole way.
Kuku.
You're welcome, Alex. You'll have a good paddle this week.
There we go, all right. What's up? Let's untie and we'll head over.
More well wishes for the polars happen over at the launch site. At the other side of the harbor, dozens of people gather throughout the upper and lower dock and gangway to witness the historic canoe launch.
Push up the dock, all right.
The ancestors are
going to
be with you all the way.
Ki Yalk is the Thlinkit name of Petersburg's canoe. It translates to English as the killer whale canoe. Petersburg's group pulls the canoe into the middle of the harbor and joins three more canoes that came to town for the official launch. The groups all float side by side as their journey is blessed with a prayer.
Till we meet again, folks.
Can I get a hoo-ha?
Hoo-ha!
Ki Yalk glides out first from the cluster, officially launching the canoe journey out of Petersburg. Canoe landing protocols happen in Juneau on June 2nd. Celebration kicks off June 3rd. Reporting in Petersburg, I'm Olivia Rose.
This is KTOO.